The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. 150 Izzle. Yeah, it's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Kelly couldn't hear anything until about 20 seconds before the show, and we were sort of breaking it to him. That's how we were going to let him know that it was over for him. But we decided to put the batteries in.
Fresh batteries help.
You can hear now?
I can hear.
How you doing, man? You good?
I'm doing great. Fantastic, Gil. My brain is definitely not broken and scrambled like an egg from the NBA.
No, totally not. Wow. We got to talk about that, of course.
Like, I am so happy for tonight that, like, there's just even, like,
one game.
Maybe we kind of think we know what's going to possibly happen, so it's going to be a little bit more relaxing. I need that.
This is not a prisoner of the moment comment. We've never seen anything like
this. Never seen anything like this. This is crazy.
It's incredible. We will get to that here in moments. Coming up on the show today, Zach and Crack. Zach Cohen, VSiN Senior Editor on the NBA. Speaking of the NBA, man. Our NBA killer sports VSiN challenge. Do you know that old Zach Cohen is now firmly entrenched in second place?
Look at him.
Fezzik 16-9, Zach 15-10. While everybody else is losing, Zach is just pedaling on forward.
I pulled it up. I have lost four out of my last five in that.
Yeah, you're not alone. It's
second round's been a disaster.
Zach doing well. We'll talk to Zach. And then a crack, of course, unscripted with Crackman Bill Krakenberger. In between, we will do a little Are We Sure? Estamos Seguros. Kelly will ask the questions. I will try to answer them. Are we sure? NFL most and fewest wins. We'll take a little glance at that, a little glimpse at it. And, of course, before we do anything, I want to get some tennis plays in because Rome is happening. And the way that the time zones work out, they kind of start right around when we get on air. There in Italy, and one of the five that I have played has started. I'm on Haley Baptiste at +110 against Ludmila Samsonova. That has started, but the other four, I believe, have yet to start. I have Gabriel Diallo, which that has not started yet. I'm just double-checking. It has not. He is taking on Marcos Giron. I have Diallo at -139. I'll check the current price on that. Lerner Tien at +106. Lerner Tien is taking on the serve bot, the American, as is Lerner American, but he's taking on his fellow American, Riley Opelka. I've got Tien at +106. And then Alexander Bublik, who hates clay courts, but has been playing well on clay courts this year. I have him at -127. Bublik, has he started yet? Where is Alexander Bublik? No, he has not started. He's taking on Roman Safuyin. That has not started yet either. So on the men's side, Diallo, Tien, and Bublik. And on the women's side, the one that has not started yet, Marie Buskova, -118. Marie Buskova taking on Beatrice Haddad-Maia, the Brazilian, who used to be a great clay court player, has not been playing well. So Diallo, Tien, Bublik, Buskova, your remaining tennis plays of the day. Baptiste already in match there in Rome.
I was like checking up on the pricing, like what's out there now. Because the Buskova, you can get about same number.
Mm-hmm.
Bublik, you can get a little better number, actually, than Gil got. And good luck on Gabriel Diallo, because that has sailed out to -200 over at DraftKings.
So, okay, forget it. That one's done. Sorry about that. I didn't check. So that's gone. Forget it. Do not play it at -200.
Nobody likes Marcos Giron, apparently.
What is Tien's price at this point?
I'm seeing -125.
Oh, wow. I got +106. Too, so again, yeah, that one I wouldn't play either. These, again, VSiN.com/picks for VSiN subscribers. I do them on the overnight. And so typically what you will get is great CLV. Although that wasn't the case yesterday with one of our two matches, went 2-0 yesterday. One of them was 25 cents against me, which rarely happens. We still won that.
Mm.
So, yeah, I wouldn't play Diallo at that price. I absolutely wouldn't play Diallo. I also wouldn't play Tien at -125. The value was in it when he was in plus money or very short minus money. But I would still play, obviously, Bublik and Buskova. Okay.
Well, always a good example of VSiN.com. It pays to subscribe.
That's right.
VSiN.com/prices.
VSiN.com/picks pays to be a subscriber. Did you want to say anything about golf before we do basketball?
No, we tee off in like an hour. So I'll get to it a little bit later.
Okay. Very good. The NBA last night. Let's do game two real quick. Want to do it in 5 seconds? The Oklahoma City Thunder are trying to return the NBA Earth axis back to the regular season, and they did so in dramatic fashion. They took care of Denver last night, quick and early and throughout, to even up that best of seven Western Conference semifinal series at one game apiece. The Thunder end up winning 149-106. They led by 24 after the first quarter. They led by as many as 35 in the first half. They led 87-56 at halftime. Those 87 points, Kelly, setting a new NBA postseason record for most points in any first half, tying the record for the postseason record in any half with the 1978 Milwaukee Bucks, who also scored 87 points in the second half of a game against the Denver Nuggets. I'm guessing Marcus Johnson, Brian Winters, and Junior Bridgman went off in that game. I know that's what you were guessing.
Well. Obviously, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, OKC led by as many as 49.
It was wild. Look, I don't want to say it's something that I expected. Otherwise, I would have been all over a bet on that side. But look, the Thunder it finally looking like the team that they should to a degree. The one, I think the big thing that stood out to me, and I have seen the market adjust a bit on this, Gil, I think overs in this series are going to be live. The Denver weakness is their defense, and if the Thunder offense can score, I don't really have that many concerns about Jokic showing back up in Denver and being able to put up some big games. So I think I'll be looking at some overs in the series going forward. Just to break down a little bit more what OKC did, I didn't pull this up till this morning. They only had 75 possessions in that game, which is not a ton. 164 points per 100 possessions is what they finish with.
Is that good?
That is as great as it gets for offensive performance.
I'm told that's good.
Yeah.
Game three back in Denver tomorrow night. OKC installed. Remember, you can't bet it unless it's installed as a -4.5 point favorite. 233.5 on the total adjusted series price. Back to OKC being a -450 favorite. Denver +350. That series knotted up at one game apiece. Also tomorrow night, by the way, preceding that, Cleveland down 2-0 to the Pacers is a 2-point favorite in game three with Indiana up 2-0. And we're back in Indiana. Adjusted series price on that, Pacers -205, Cleveland +170. So Cleveland, a tick of a favorite in that game, and yet a dog in the series down 2-0. Remember, that is the proverbial must-win situation tomorrow night because no team in the history of the National Basketball Association has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit in a best-of-seven playoff series. Four have forced a seven game, most recently, it was the Celtics 2 years ago against the Heat, and then they got housed in game seven by playoff Jimmy in the Heat. But no one has ever done it. So that is the proverbial must-win situation for the Cavs in Game 3.
Okay, and I'll give you the stat that kind of bridges us then to the last game last night. Teams that win the first two games of a best-of-seven series on the road, 30-5 all-time in the NBA playoffs.
Say that again?
Teams that win their first two games of a best-of-seven series on the road.
30-5.
30-5. 85.7%.
And obviously what Kelly is referring to is, again, it happened again last night. It's amazing. Indiana was down 20 against Cleveland in Game 2. They overcame that deficit. The Knicks were down 20 against the Celtics in Game 1. They dramatically overcame that deficit. Well, guess what? Game 2, same second verse, same as the first, as they say. Celtics led by as many as 13 in the first quarter last night. They led by 11 after one. Second quarter, Knicks got within 5, and the Celtics kicked it all the way back to a 16-point lead, or all the way up to a 16-point lead, I should say, but only led by 9 at the half. Celtics already doing this terrible stuff from behind the arc again. Third quarter, Celtics got the lead to 20 twice. There's the magic number, 20. As soon as it gets to 20 and only 20 on that exact number, it's like, got them right where we want them. The latest of which was 73-53. Knicks would go on an 8-0 run to cut it to 73-61. So it was a 12-point margin at the end of three. Fourth quarter, Celtics would get the lead back up to 16 on multiple occasions. The latest at 84-68 with 8:30 left. And then, Kelly, the Knicks did the Knicks things here in this postseason. They went on a 19-2 run to take an 87-86 lead on a Brunson fadeaway. Then they extended that to a 21-2 run led by 3 on a Brunson layup. 89-86 with 56 seconds left. Oh my God, it's happening again.
Incredible.
But Tatum got to the line. He made 2 free throws. He cut it to 89-88 with 44.9 seconds to go. Then Brunson missed a 3. Boston gets the ball back down 1 with 24.2 seconds left. 89-88. And Tatum just goes coast. There's a timeout. I don't know what Tibbs was doing in the huddle for the Knicks, but Tatum goes coast to coast uncontested for the jam. Boston up 90-89 with 18 seconds left. Then Brunson does Brunson things. He draws the foul, pardon me, from Drew. Drew Holiday fouls him with, 12.7 seconds left. He makes both free throws. It's 91-90 Knicks. Joe Mazzulla has a timeout in pocket. He elects not to use it. Celtics go down court. Tatum hemmed into a corner. Looked like he wanted to shoot. Then he was kind of forced to pass, and Bridges just stole it right from him. Ball game. Knicks lead 2-0. They win it. 91-90. Back to New York City we go. The game ended for the Knicks on a 22-7 run, but if you take it back to the 20-point deficit, it was a 38-17 run. Celtics, who were 15 of 60 from behind the arc in Game 1, 10 of 40 from behind the arc in Game 2. I'll do the math for you, Kelly. Boop, 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 boop. That's the same percentage. Two-game aggregate, 25 of 100. From behind the arc. What are we doing?
What's that percentage, Gil?
That's 25%.
1 for 15. I mean, just from the field yesterday, 36% from the field, which is just astounding to see in an NBA playoff game, right? 1 for 15 in the final 8:40 of that game, Boston was. I don't know. I would love to get True Serum into Thibodeau and get an answer on what happened those last few series, because you somehow did trick. Or I don't know. I don't think it was on purpose at all. But the fact that that Mazzulla thought I could just let these guys run because it worked the one time before.
It worked 10 seconds before. And Mazzulla's strategy was to not let the Knicks get Brunson off the court.
Right.
And it did not work.
And Mitchell Robinson was like, I'm not letting this happen twice.
It did not work. Something to say about the Celtics in general on the other side. About their legacy. What a game. What a playoffs in the NBA. Coming back, Are We Sure and more. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights, or start with smarter insights. Right now, you can check out Tyler Shoemaker's WNBA team previews and win totals. By the way, we got that under yesterday. Remember when we mentioned it, 8:30?
Yeah.
That game did go under. Greg Peterson's MLB picks and the AdventHealth 400 NASCAR preview. Steve Mackin and simulation results. Why you got to laugh in the middle of that?
Give me the bees. Give me the Matt Brown bees. All the bees in NASCAR.
And later today, you can check out Zach Cohen's NBA best bets. Dan Karpuk will have his NBA props best bets, and Jonathan Davis will have his best picks for the NHL playoffs. Right now, you can sign up for our annual subscription. Get 14 months for only $199 with promo code PRO. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today.
Now, I was chuckling because I don't know if you caught it, but the tone of my voice when I said, yeah, I had absolutely no idea what you were talking about at first. And then, yeah, I remembered that we had that WNBA preseason game.
Yeah, yesterday at like, what was it, half hour before the end of the show, we're like, why do we have this early game between the preseason game between the Dream and the Mystics? Are those ladies going to score 155.5 points? It went under. There you go. A winner between tennis and WNBA yesterday. That was nice. Okay, so
you actually ended up betting it?
Oh, a little live bet, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay, yeah. Okay.
Well, because it was some faraway place.
Yeah.
Okay, so tonight, just going back to the NBA here, before we get to Are We Sure? So tonight it's Golden State, Minnesota, Game 2. Obviously no Steph Curry. And that's why, like, yesterday when we had Will Hill on, I said, what if they get Steph back for Game 6? And the reason I picked Game 6 is because I knew that a Grade 1 hamstring strain, they say you're out 7 to 10 days. Mm. So that kind of pushes it forward to Game 6. So essentially, the Warriors have to figure out a way to win a game in order to make that happen and allow Steph to come back with his series still alive. Minnesota favored tonight by 10.5 points in Game 2. This is obviously a tick up now without, 4 points up, 5 points up. What was the close in Game 1? Was it 5.5 or 6.5? Can't remember. Maybe it was even 7.
No, it was 7.
Yeah, it got higher. That's right. It got higher at the end. But anyway, this is 10.5 now tonight. Adjusted series price. So Warriors win Game 1, but Steph is out. Remember, the pre-flop on the T-Wolves was, what, about minus 180, minus 175? The adjusted series price now with the T-Wolves down a game, but with Steph out, minus 190 on the T-Wolves. Mm-hmm. Adjusted series price, Warriors plus 160 on the comeback. Tomorrow night, as we established, Cleveland at Indiana, Game 2. Cleveland's a 2-point favorite despite being down 2 games. We still don't know the full word on who's going to be back for Cleveland yet. Totals at 229.5. And then OKC in Game 3 tomorrow night at Denver. They're 4.5-point favorites. That series knotted up at one game apiece, minus 450, series adjusted price on OKC. But now to Saturday, that's game three of the Boston Knicks series back at Madison Square Garden, or going to Madison Square Garden for game three. Just like with the Cavaliers, the proverbial must-win situation for the Celtics. Again, nobody has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit in a best-of-seven series in NBA playoff history. Boston installed as a 5-point favorite on the road at MSG. Are you surprised by this?
No, not really. I mean, look, this one from a number standpoint makes more sense to me than where we're at with Cleveland and Indiana. I still don't understand how we're shifting to a 2-point favorite for Cleveland when we still don't have any updated injury information. I think the only reason you could say,
yeah, by that logic, Cleveland would be the favorite in every game of this series, no matter where they play it. But yet Indiana is a huge series price.
It's just weird from based off of where we closed in game two. Yeah. That's where it's just a little funky. You take what home court is worth, this flip to five, laying five on the road at New York. That sounds a bit more right. If you want to say, though, it still feels too heavy from, I mean, multiple reasons of what you've seen in the first two games, but the Porzingis stuff, Gil, right? Like, he's really a non-factor in this series. So I think you need to start adjusting your numbers, and I've tried to do that myself, of just really factoring in limited help from a Kristaps Porzingis, which is, you know what, it's... I don't want to say it's, you know, reason one, two, three, or four that the Knicks are down in this series, but not having him as a go-to option to run some different offense through, I think has been a bit of a factor here early and could be a factor if they're going to continue to lose these games.
Here's what I wanted to say about the Celtics. It just could be, right? I mean, you're 25 of 100 from two games. And, you know, the NBA community or the NBA hardos will say, well, look, I mean, you know, pardon me, I don't know what's going on with me.
Yeah.
Choked up. I'm emotional. Sad about this. I'm emotional because I wanted them to be a great team, but they're just not.
You're a big Celtics fan.
Can't stand them. Cannot stand them. Can't stand their coach. Can't stand the way they play basketball.
Missoula does drive me nuts.
Missoula drives me crazy. But here's my overall point about the Celtics. They won the championship last year, but remember their path. They beat the 8-seed Heat 4-1. They beat the 4-seed Cavs 4-1. They then beat the 6-seed Pacers 4-0, and they beat the 5-seed out of the West, Dallas Mavericks, 4-1. Great. You had a great run. It was a great season. It all worked out. You really did have a patsy schedule. It might have been the easiest path to an NBA title ever. Doesn't matter. You won the title. Bravo. But you ain't the Shaq Kobe Lakers. You ain't the 4-time champion Warriors. Should have been 6. Could have been 6. Should have been 6. You ain't anybody. Plug in Jordan, Detroit, Bad Boys, whatever it is. You might just be a one-off because of the way you play. Yes, the Warriors shoot a lot of three, but the Warriors played a beautiful brand of basketball through the years. They're cutting to the hoop and everything. These Celtics, you had the best text of the night. The first half of this game, every time Tatum drove to the hole, he seemed to miss it. So Kelly texts me, he goes, oh, I get why they shoot all these threes. He can't hit a layup.
I mean, he missed two layups in the first quarter. This was a Giannis thing for a long time, LeBron thing for, I don't want to say a LeBron thing for a long time, but for a short period, where you're yelling, Tatum, you're bigger, faster, stronger than 98% of the people you're going up to. Go to the basket. And then he looks like he gets there easily, and it's right there, and somehow, doink, comes off the rim, and it's like, all right, if you can't make a layup, then you might as well just jack up the
three. Maybe you should just hoist it. Yeah. All right. Are we sure? Estamos seguros.
It really is. That was good thoughts on the Celtics. It's really interesting where this team is at and kind of NBA history, right? Because it's we want to talk about they're changing the game, and it's just...
They ain't changing it.
It's weird. It's weird, and we'll see how this goes.
The guy who changed it has a hamstring injury.
Okay, are we sure? The Celtics are done.
We're not 100% sure. We're not 100% sure, right? But we're close to it. It's 100% if they lose game three. But look, if the Knicks win one of two, then it becomes that, you know, that 3-1 thing, but the Celtics still have home court in 5-7, right? So it's that, yes, they have a 3-1 lead, but it's not quite the 3-1 lead of a team that has the home court in 5-7. So no, we're not 100% sure. I'm not going to bury them. Because they could catch fire here and the Knicks could sort of revert. But I'll tell you this, it's about at 85%.
I think the one of the other things from last night where I was feeling way more optimistic about Boston early, the fact that Porzingis went, right, early in the game. You're like, okay, Porzingis is good enough to go. And then first half, Jaylen Brown has a massive first half, and that's been a major concern. Where's Jaylen Brown out at health-wise? He looked great first half, then disappears in the second half. Kristaps Porzingis doesn't play much.
He's a little too cocky after every made bucket or everything, too. Do you see the Knicks doing that? I don't see Jalen Brunson ever doing that. Why every time we got a chirp?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, are we sure the Warriors are done without Stephen Curry?
No, and I wanted to talk about this. No, we're not sure. The market seems to think we are sure about this. So look, they didn't anticipate Curry getting hurt, but could you ever imagine a clearer scenario of why you acquire playoff Jimmy here? You know, you wanted him to be in tandem with Curry, obviously, and hopefully Steph gets back. But as you said yesterday, playoff Jimmy has dragged worse teams than this to postseason glory. I don't think the Warriors are done at all. And as a matter of fact, I know a lot of people are just piling on them today, and there is a punt scenario, right? If the Warriors get down, maybe they punt on this because they've seen everything, and they're like, oh, we'll just go back to San Francisco. But no, they are not done. No way are we sure about that.
I could not stop thinking yesterday, throughout the day, just random moments of the day, of like, you acquire Jimmy Butler to win a championship. That is the point of acquiring a star player right? To put yourself in the mix to win a championship. But my God, they've got to be more thankful right now that he is on this team in the second round of the NBA playoffs.
I've said from the beginning, they will get to the Western Conference Finals. That's when they will go away.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, from a price standpoint on this series, there's a lot of love for the Wolves. I like the Wolves. They've been great. They finished the regular season. But at a certain point, that price gets to be a little too much. Okay, are we sure? Speaking of the Wolves, are we sure? This is an interesting market up at DraftKings. Team to advance further, okay? So think about where teams are at in their series.
Mm-hmm.
Are we sure the Timberwolves should be -165 to advance further than the New York Knicks?
No way. Knicks are up 2-0. T-Wolves are down 1-0. What are we talking about?
I'm not saying this would be a big bet for me if I had this market available to me, but I would be betting that today. -165. I don't know what the comeback is on the Knicks.
Oh, my God.
But you're getting plus, you know, what, 130, something like that on the Knicks.
Well, I hope so. You know how these books operate. Maybe there is options.
No, there is another option. I saw it.
Oh, okay.
But you're right on the pricing. Who knows?
All right. More Are We Sure on the other side?
Yeah, sure.
And the first half of the Zach and Crack comedy duo, Zach Cohen, killing it in the VSiN Killer Sports NBA Playoff Challenge in second place right behind the very confident Steve Fezzik. Zach is much more low-key. He's much more humble. We'll talk to Zach about the NBA and whatever he has in tennis left today. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready to get in on the action? First Bet has you covered. Sign up now to access exclusive promotions and bet on hundreds of thrilling horse races every day right from your phone or computer. Visit firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. And use promo code VSIN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Start betting today at firstbet.com. There you go, Haley Baptiste. She was down a break when I mentioned that we had started that match. She comes back and she wins the first set over Ludmila Samsonova. We'll get Zach's tennis plays here momentarily. I would read your tweets, y'all, as I always do, because you guys are the best. But Kelly, our Twitter feed is overrun by one thing. Can you imagine what it is?
I know what, because I saw these all yesterday.
Apparently, at Costco, they are selling a giant Plinko game. And for those who have listened to this show for a long time, you know that I refer to ATS betting often as Plinko, the Price is Right game where you start at the top with a metal disc and it bounces off all these rungs and it picks up speed and then it just bounces and falls into a slot randomly. And that's kind of, you know, whenever a game, whether it's basketball or whatever, finishes that way, I always refer to it as Plinko. And so everybody's saying, I don't know how much this costs, but someone was asking, can they put it right in between us during the show? Is it
okay? That's a good tweet because I was just thinking of something like that. You know, they got like, was it Man vs. Machine? They do that on the Hoop Collective podcast, I believe. I might be misquoting podcast. We might do Gil versus the Plinko Machine next year, next football season. I'm going to buy a Plinko game. We'll do Gil versus Plinko.
There you go. Let's see. The other tweets, Chris Lee Miller. I've been watching playoff basketball recently after a long hiatus. How can you watch this
with these over-dramatized fouls. I feel like I'm watching soccer. It's just too much. Maybe I'm just old school 80s Pistons era. Well, it's not that era, that's for sure.
I also feel like there's been way worse years than this.
Oh, yeah.
From that standpoint.
I feel so as well, yeah.
If you want to be the guy that's like, what's with all these three-pointers? Like, I get that, but like...
Like Regis style, apparently. Yeah. I have to say Regis Philbin. What's with all the three-pointers?
The soccer, man. I was going nuts about that one the other day because you had the replays become so much more of a thing in soccer, right? And that the guy for Inter Milan gets fouled inside the penalty box and just stays on the ground yelling like he's injured for like 4 minutes, Gil, until the referee finally blows the whistle to address it. And then when they bring the trainers out,
he springs right up.
It's like, oh, now we have time to review it. So let's go back 4 minutes later in the game and review that play. Soccer. You're like, wait, what?
Soccer. I always tell my European friends, I'm like, this is what, you know, the main thing why it offends the American sensibility is the flopping, the fake injuries.
Main thing that offends me is why we can't handle a stopwatch. Like, all right, stoppage. Stop the time. Start the time.
It's the worst. There should be a 30 for 30 on stoppage time.
So I'm going to get blasted on Twitter now.
B-Mart, if we're 85% sure that the Celtics are cooked and the Knicks are -110 in the series, then isn't that an auto max bet? Yes, it is. Yes, it is for me. And Kevin Ryan, Gil, are we sure that Fezzik is dying his hair? Yes, we are. The same man who is wed to a lady who hates it when I have a plunging collar. She enjoys that, though. So who are we to judge? Ladies and gentlemen.
I got no comment. Did this come up on the show yet?
Yeah, it did. Because I couldn't leave the elephant in the room. I'm like, we're going to talk about this?
When I was out?
When you were out.
Okay.
Yeah, when you were out. Zach Cohen, no dyeing his hair. Ladies and gentlemen, second place behind the aforementioned Steve Fezzik in the NBA Killer Sports VSiN Challenge. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, VSiN Senior Editor, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. How you doing, Zach?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Doing very well. Tennis plays before we get to the NBA. What do you have left today?
Yeah, I have a few. I'm opposite on you. I have Rally Opelka today against Lerner Tien. I just think that Opelka's a little bit underrated on clay. I think that obviously the courts are going to be slower. The serve's not going to be as effective. But I do think if he's hitting his spots, it's going to be difficult for Tien to get the ball back. And I do think Tien has issues on his second serve and is a little unproven on clay. So that's why I landed on Opelka. I'm also playing Matteo Gigante right now against Rinder Kanesh. That isn't a tiebreaker at the moment in the first set. Very stressful. Marie Buskova money line against Beatriz Haddad Maia,
We are simpatico on that one.
Again.
Yeah.
Good.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a fade on Haddad Maia, who's just been a completely different player since the start of 2025. I wrote it at VSiN.com. Like, if this match were being played last year, I would have slammed the plus money with Haddad Maia, but it's a different year. And then I also took Marcos Giron +120 against Gabriel Diallo, another
Oppo.
One. Where I think. Oh, no. Yeah, I think the Diallo serve is just not going to be as good of a match for Rome as it was Madrid.
That one moved on you 40 cents or something, my friend. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It's a bad movement.
We'll see. By the way, I don't want this to slide. One of Zach's picks was on a guy named Matteo Gigante, which translates to Matt Giant.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That is pretty
Matthew
awesome.
Matthew Giant. That's who he's on today.
Can I start with an Are We Sure?
Yes,
question?
Are We Sure?
I'm
going to
start with Zach. Since you guys are head to head on a couple tennis bets, let's see if I can just stir the pot a little bit more. Hey, Zach, are we sure Iga Swiatek should be the favorite to win the French Open?
A good one.
I think yes. I think that there's a lot to pick at this year with Iga. She's been really bad for her standards, but you look at her numbers, her win loss record. Like, they're pretty much every player in the world would take that record this year, and that's still with her playing as poorly as she is. And now we're in the portion of the season where her ability along the baseline is a huge advantage over others. These are slower clay court tournaments. Like, when she lost in Madrid, that's a faster tournament. That's more or less a hardcore tournament because of how fast it plays. So that's not really her strength. I think we're going to see her win this week in Rome. I did take that as well at +225. And I think that she should be the favorite to win the French Open at plus money odds. You should take it.
I have absolutely nothing to add. Zach is correct on every word that he just said. Everything he just said. She absolutely should be the favorite.
That was weak.
Give me a break.
I was hoping for something more exciting than that.
If she plays Ostapenko, I'll change my mind.
That's right. That's right. If Ostapenko's in her draw, then different story altogether. That's a kryptonite. Okay, to the National Basketball Association. You were just saying off air. Yes, there's only one game tonight. You wish it weren't this one, though.
Yeah, it's a really hard game to read. Like, I think that I have leans on the under and I have leans on the Timberwolves, but I don't know that the Warriors are going to play that poorly. You know, if they surround Butler with some floor spacing, you know, Pajemski and Hield shoot the ball well, like, I don't really think it's going to be that low scoring of a game. So I ended up not playing the under, and I don't know. I just don't have anything that I absolutely love tonight. The only thing I'm going to end up playing is Rudy Gobert over 1.5 blocks at plus 130, because I do think that Butler having the ball in his hands means we might see the Warriors drive to the basket a little bit more, and that'll, you know, just test Rudy a little bit. And Gobert did have 3 blocks in game one. He did that in, you know, 26 minutes or so on the court. So if he plays 30 or more, I think he's going to have his opportunities to block some shots.
You agree with me. The Warriors are not dead, right?
They need to win one of these next 3, but they're not dead. I think that it's possible that they do it, especially as they get back home. But I think the Timberwolves do win tonight, and I would give the Timberwolves a really good shot of winning the 2 games in Golden State. But yeah, I think if the Warriors win one of these next 3, they're still very much alive.
Yeah, they're going to do that.
Oh, do we have a Draymond ejection prop anywhere? I forgot we're back. Steph's out, so like Draymond's due for an ejection.
I think Draymond has actually, the way he was actually in the last game, was it? I feel like he gets it all of a sudden with Steph out, where he's like, okay, let me not. I mean, that, but then the first 4 minutes he did something, but after that,
he's pushing the techs, right? Right, Zach? If he gets one more or 2 more, he misses a game.
Yep, and I do think that he has done a good job of kind of restraining himself, but at the same time, like, Kelly's right. Like, he tends to get himself ejected in these games where he feels they don't have a chance to win. So if it's going to happen at some point, it's going to be a game where they're down 10 to 15 points and he's going to do something to push the line.
Oh, in that scenario, I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. All right, tomorrow night, Cleveland favored by 2 at Indiana. Once again, must-win situation for the Cavs. We don't know who's playing yet for them. That's the thing. And then OKC, a 4.5-point favorite at Denver. That series knotted up at 1 apiece. Do you have a play in either of those, side or total?
Yeah, I like the Pacers. I think that they're going to win one of these next 2 home games. So I think if you're grabbing money line on both of them, you're going to end up in the green. And I do think that there's a chance that they do win both of them. I know that that's crazy. Like, I didn't expect this to be a sweep before the series started, but I do think that the injuries are very concerning for Cleveland. Like, if those guys missed game 2, a must-win game 2, those injuries are more serious than they are letting on. So I would not be surprised if we see Garland, Hunter, or Mobley out, maybe 2 of the 3. And I think that, you know, this has been a really even series in general. Like, I went into this series with Indiana plus 2.5 games, thinking that, you know, Garland was going to be out there for game 1. And I just really went off the stats from December on, when the Pacers played like a top 7 team in the NBA. And if you look at January on, these teams were neck and neck in terms of efficiency differential at cleaning the glass. So I think that they're pretty even. And I think that now you head back to Indiana, where the Pacers do have a true home court advantage. The Cavaliers are going to need to be healthy in order to beat them there.
It really, if the undoing of the Cavaliers and the Warriors is the injuries, what a shame for
it
both
sucks.
Of those franchises.
It sucks, yeah.
What a shame.
Especially for the Cavs.
Especially for the Cavs.
What a season they had.
Especially for the Cavs, I agree. Nothing in Denver, OKC tomorrow night? Nothing?
Not yet. I have a lean on OKC. Like, I really think that what we saw in game 2 and what we saw for the most part in game 1 is what's going to happen the rest of the series, but okay. I'm not sure if I want to play it at 4.5. I'm going to decide tomorrow morning.
As we go out Saturday, Boston, 5-point favorites against the Knicks. What say you?
I have Boston minus 5 in that game. I think that the Celtics are due for a game where they shoot, you know, at least 30% from 3, and they win the game pretty comfortably.
Due. What a flimsy word. D-U-E. We'll see about that. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it, man, and congratulations on the success in the challenge.
Thanks, guys.
Coming back, more Are We Sure? More baseball next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You know, Kelly, millions of baseball fans love Pete Rose. Charlie Hustle, they call him. And if you're one of them, listen up. Pete passed away last September. The last person to interview Pete in studio, which I believe he was on with Dave and Jensen by the books last week. He just 10 days before Pete's passing, by the way, interviewed him. He's asking for a presidential pardon by May 14th. That's when the Cincinnati Reds will host Pete Rose Night at the Great American Ballpark. If you believe Pete deserves this honor, go to pardonpete.com and sign the petition. While you're there, you can also enter to win a baseball autographed by Pete himself. That's pardonpete.com. Skill Alexander, this is Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number 9, so much more than a producer. Let's update the Major League Baseball the race for most wins, if you will, in the calendar month of May. Last night, Kelly, the Padres lose to the Yankees 4-3 in a game they led 1-0. Then they led 3-0, couldn't hold on. The Yankees get it done 4-3 in 10. And so the current standings. But now here's the thing. There's the good news. The good news is that when I projected the Padres to win this month in terms of most wins, I accounted for a 1-2 against the Yankees. Why did I account for a 1-2 against the Yankees? Have you ever watched a game in the Bronx? The umpiring in these games are so one-sided, it is insanity. Someone has to do something about this. Balls that are completely, that end up in that box, strikes for the Yankees always, balls sometimes for the Padres, and the opposite is true. Pitches that are out of the strike zone, Padres never got those calls, Yankees got them all the time over the last three games. I'm so glad to be out of the Bronx. Royals are your current leader, 6-1. They beat the White Sox last night by a run. So Royals are 6-1.
Giants, I do that all the time, by the way.
What?
They're 6-1. I mean, they're 6-1. Yeah.
Giants, Guardians, and Cardinals all 5-2. And then the 4-win teams, Tigers, followed by the Dodgers, Phillies, Mariners, Twins, and our Padres at 4-2. But again, here's what the Padres have in front of them. So Padres now, this is the part of the schedule where they should go ballistic. And again, Jackson Merrill, how good is that kid? They got 3 at Colorado now. They go home to Petco, 3 hosting the Angels, 3 hosting the Mariners. Then they go back to Toronto and Atlanta. Then they close with 3 at home against the Marlins and 2 against the hapless Pirates at home. So now's the time, and this is where, at least where I have projected. I projected on the left, the actual on the right. So far we are matching exactly where I thought they'd be. I have them projected to go 20-6 this month. And if you can beat that, good luck to you. But 20-6 is what we're going for. Padres idle today.
How's Seattle looking so far this year?
Seattle's good.
Okay.
Good team. Yeah. Although, you know, they needed some drama a couple times to beat the A's. The A's are pesky, too. But Seattle won that series in sort of dramatic fashion. So Seattle's getting it done. They're grinding.
Most surprising teams to you so far this season? To the good, to the bad?
Well, to the bad, I think it's the Orioles. I mean, they're just so this, and I'll say it again because every time it comes up, it makes me so mad. This is that debate I had with Rufus because Rufus and I both grew up, Rufus Peabody, a great sports bettor, grew up, both of us as Orioles fans. When you have a chance to go for it and win a World Series title, right? My position is at the trade deadline, go for
it. Yes.
And in these last couple years, you spent all those years tanking and building up your farm system, right? To get to this point. And so the Orioles decided, like the last couple of years at the trade deadline, they're like, we're just going to play it for a dynasty. We're going to play it for long-term greatness. You don't, nothing's guaranteed in baseball. And now look at them, 13-22. Come on.
Mountcastle must be having a bad year, right?
That's our boy. The official
Baltimore player Orioles of the primetime action.
Yeah. So they're the most surprising to the bad. I don't think anybody saw it coming. I mean, they're 13-22. Like, the only teams that are worse than them are the White Sox, the Pirates, and the Rockies.
Wow, okay,
that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's rough.
To the good, I don't know that there's anything tremendously surprising to the good, to be honest with you. I guess the Guardians, 22-15, I obviously didn't see that start coming. That's probably the most surprising to me.
Okay.
Early on. Okay, more Are We Sure? Yes?
Yeah, I've got one MLB question for you, too, because I was just going over some of the awards markets yesterday after I was entering some of Jason's stuff. And plus 220 on Shohei Ohtani to win NL MVP. Are we sure we shouldn't be betting that right now?
Are we sure we shouldn't be?
Yeah, it's one of those Kelly doubles. Yeah, exactly.
The double.
Like, should I be betting that right now?
I don't know, because here's the thing. So if he comes back and pitches and is great.
And where are we at with that? It's still like up in the air, but we think he's going to, right?
Remember when I brought that up with Spore before the season? He's like, are we sure that he's going to pitch? Listen, if he comes, I don't know where we are. We're no more clear on that than I think we have been. But if he comes back and he's good, then it's tough to sort of vote against it. But I will say this, the counter argument to that is, let's say it's 80 innings pitched, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say it's 80 or 90 innings pitched. A voter might say to him or herself, self, I'm going to have to give this award to this dude every year moving forward if he doesn't get hurt again. So maybe this year where he only pitches 80 or 90 innings, maybe this is year I don't give it to him. So no, I am not sure you should be betting that.
Yeah, so we were saying that, what? Like with that same line of thinking kind of last year, right? Or heading into this year, but it was the, or last year we were, because he wasn't pitching, right? And it was the, oh, okay, well, we can... We know we're going to have to give it to him in the future, so yeah let's skip this year.
Because you have, no choice in the future,
right?
If he's good at both.
I think the way you just said it, though, I think that's almost more true this year than even last year. Because if he does a little bit, you're like, well, we know he's going to pitch more in the future than this, so fine, it's easier to skip him.
So the answer is no, we are not sure we should bet that at all.
Okay. Are we sure the Steelers will finish without a losing record this season?
Are we? Say it again.
Are we sure the Steelers will finish with a winning record? I didn't want to go with the tie.
Everything's a word salad. It's like a word riddle.
The problem is they could be the 8-8-8-8-1.
That's all they got to do to keep the streak alive, right? So if you're asking me, am I sure they're going to have a winning season, I guess, to make it simple? No, I'm not sure. They don't have a quarterback. I don't know if you know this about football, Kelly. I want you to lean in for this one. This is wisdom I'm about to impart. You kind of need a quarterback in this league. You're nothing without a quarterback. Who's in the room, the quarterback room? Mason Rudolph, Skylar Thompson, and Will Howard. And they're waiting, the looming specter of Aaron Rodgers, as if it's 2015 Aaron Rodgers. No, it's not.
It's crazy.
It's a dude who's 40. He's going to be 41. Stop it.
Anybody see Mason Rudolph and Luka Garza in the same place before?
That's true.
Still wondering about that. Still wondering about that.
By the way, I misspoke. 41, going to be 42 in December. Pardon me.
Get it right.
I shortchanged him.
Are we sure? This one kind of surprised me seeing how much this has moved. Are we sure Ashton Jeanty should be the favorite to win Rookie of the Year?
No. And I loved Ashton Jeanty in college. You know how I feel about him being drafted as high as he is. I don't think you can be sure that Ashton Jeanty is going to have a spectacular season. Maybe he will, but I'm not sure. I'm not betting that.
Yeah, he's like a little over 2-1. Man, that felt short to me.
I mean, okay, he's plus 230. Cam Ward is plus 330. Let's say Cam Ward just goes off. I don't know that he will.
Right there. If there was the same price, Cam Ward and Ashton Jeanty, and I made you make a bet, who would you bet?
Cam Ward. Me too. He's quarterback.
Me too.
And then there's Travis Hunter and everybody else. Teteroa McMillan, who I love, but, you know, wide out. Dependent position. So, no, I'm not sure.
Okay. Are we sure the Bills should be as big as minus 260 favorites to win the AFC East?
I am.
Yeah, me too.
That was an easy one.
That division sucks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, the win totals, they don't suck, right? Patriots are somehow 8.5. Dolphins are also 8.5. Jets are 5.5. Whew, boy, the Jets. What a turn of events. But the Bills, 11.5? What's their record in division going to be? You got a 4-2 at worst.
Undefeated.
But probably 5-1 is the chalk.
Yeah.
And 6-0 is always possible.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I'm sure just that price.
Like, those Patriots and Dolphins win totals both feel a little high to me. Like, I could see what, if you told me one of those teams goes over, fine. But, like, I don't think they go over by, like they finish with 9 or 10 wins. I could easily see one of those teams, more likely the Patriots, going well under that number, too, though.
Also, side note, Haley Steinfeld, get down.
Yeah.
Oh, well, fantastic. Anything else? One more?
Yeah, sure. To the ice.
To the ice. Oh, we like Are We Sure's on the ice.
Are we sure the Stars and Hurricanes should be co-favorites to win the Stanley Cup, Gil?
In case you missed it in the NHL last night, the Leafs take a 2-0 lead on the Panthers. They overcame two early deficits to win that one 4-3. And then Dallas, 1-0 over the Winnipeg Jets in the other series last night. Mikko Rantanen with a natural hat trick all in the second period. He's assisted or had a goal the last 12 Stars goals. 3-2 Stars won that game. So they're up 1-0. Am I sure that those should be the two co-favorites? Not with Toronto up 2-0. Mathematically, probably not. But yes, in reality, are those the two best teams? Dallas, yes, I will say. Because Edmonton and Golden Knights are coin flippy, right? So I think Dallas by default becomes for sure the correct favorite there. I'm not so sure. Our peeps in Canada, our peeps in Toronto, I'm going to give them love. I'm not so sure the Hurricanes Let's should go. Be the favorite. Plus, the Caps aren't dead yet either. Come on, Caps. Wake up. Are we sure? Crack is next. Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.